We've come to think of computers as smart and responsive, but as intellectually stimulating as our relationships with computers may be, linguist Jeff Nunberg wonders how far these relationships can go.
Can machines think? That's how the remarkable English mathematician Alan Turing began a famous article in the British philosophical journal Mind back in 1950. It was an audacious question to pose at a time when the state-of-the-art computer was a collection of tubes the size of a locomotive with less memory than the chip in your microwave oven. But Turing had no interest in intellectual lint-picking. He proposed a simple practical test which has come to bear his name. You put a machine in one room and a person in another, and you let a human judge talk to both of them over a teletype. If the judge can't tell which is which, then we have to say that for all purposes, the machine is thinking. The Turing test has fascinated philosophers and computer scientists ever since. Turing himself thought that a computer would be able to pass it before the end of the century. A while ago, an industrialist offered a $100,000 prize for the first program that could pass a full Turing test, and recently, the first official test was held in Boston. It pitted 6 computer programs and 2 human confederates against 10 human judges, none of them programmers. It wasn't actually a full test, since each of the programs was limited to talking about a specific subject like Burgundy wines or Shakespeare. Still, a number of the programs fooled some of the judges, and one of them fooled 5 of the 10, and took home a $1,500 prize for its limited success. I didn't find this particularly astonishing, because I'd recalled a story that I'd heard from the computer scientist Danny Bobrow. Back in 1967, Bobrow was playing around with a program called ELIZA. ELIZA was designed by the artificial intelligence pioneer Joseph Weizenbaum to stimulate psychotherapeutic discourse. You typed a sentence on the teletype, and ELIZA picked up certain keywords and asked you a question back. One night, somebody had been working late with the program and accidentally left it running on the teletype. Early the next morning, a vice president of the company came into the office with a customer who wanted to look at the computer. The vice president saw the teletype plugged in and thought Bobrow was connected to the other end. He typed in, "Do you think I can use the computer this morning?" The program answered, "Why do you ask?" The vice president said, "I might be able to make some additional telecom sales." The program picked up that "might" and said, "Why aren't you sure?" The vice president said, "My customers haven't seen a demonstration of the system." The program asked, "Does this mean very much to you?" The vice president answered, "Of course it does." The program said, "You sound very positive." The vice president said, "This is ridiculous." The program asked, "What do you mean this is ridiculous?" This went on for a couple more exchanges until the vice president picked up a phone and called Bobrow at his office. "Why are you being so snotty to me?" To which Bobrow answered, "What do you mean, why am I being so snotty to you?" It took a while to sort things out. So what does this all prove about computers? Not much. Clearly they can talk, and they can reason in a feral sort of way, and if you want to say they're thinking, there's nobody who can prove you wrong. But that isn't what leads people to mistake them for humans. What fooled the vice president wasn't ELIZA's intelligence, but its irrationality. Who but a human could be so uncooperative and ornery? Of course, in this case, the program's personality was mostly in the mind of the person who was reading human motives into its responses. Still, it's fair to ask whether a machine could achieve this perverseness entirely on its own. Maybe the deep philosophical question is not, can machines think, but can machines bust our chops? It suggests a strategy for anybody who wants to design a program to win the Turing test and take home the $100,000. Think of it. You sit down at the terminal and type in a question, and the program says, "Look, I'm not really interested in playing games right now."
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist associated with the Institute for Research on Learning in Palo Alto, California.